J.S. Bach. Written to the glory of God, he said. Oh, I love that. I love that. I like playing that. I've played that on a pipe organ myself. Cool song. Called Toccata and Fugue in D minor. Probably the most famous Bach piece ever. And why am I playing that, you might ask? Well, because at least when I'm recording this, it's Halloween week, and looking at some of the themes around Halloween, and today, going to be looking at the whole theme of death and dying and such. And what is life and eternal life and life after the grave? We want to know all we can about it, don't we? Yes, we do. And the Bible has, of course, tons to say about it. And so let's kind of dig into that. Yesterday, we were looking into the subject of the spirit realm, the reality of the spirit realm, the reality of spirits, evil spirits, demons, all such things. And we saw yesterday, as I was sharing, that those things that are themes around Halloween, a lot of those themes are true, trappings from a pagan era, countries that were Christianized, and ultimately a mixture shows up of Christian festival for the saints or the martyrs, those that died for their faith, got mixed in with the pagan practices of, trying to contact the dead. And what we end up with is this weird social event called Halloween, which really, at least in our, experience of putting on costumes, kids going around all that and trick-and-treating, doesn't have much to do with spirits at all. But certainly on television, there's such a surge and a rising interest in the realm of the spirit. And then I noticed on the weekend, I was looking online from Korea and reading the National Post. And they had all these articles in there about death and dying and all the rest, just gazillions of opinions. Now, let me just share some things straight up from the Bible about all this kind of stuff. What we find in the New Testament about death and about dying and all that sort of thing. First thing let me say is the idea of a human being being able to exist as a disembodied spirit. In other words, our soul can leave our body and we can have a personality like a ghost floating around somewhere. Is not something that's a concept in the Bible. It's not a Hebrew idea. Are there spirits that are looking for bodies? Yes, there are, but they're called evil spirits. They're called demons and so on. But the spirits of angels, for example, angels have bodies, but they're not like bodies made of the same material we have in this world. Somehow it's the spiritual realm is a parallel universe to ours where there are bodies. But these spiritual bodies are much, much, much more superior to our bodies. And so when angels do transect our universe, they step over into our realm and are seen and experienced. Oftentimes, they look and talk and sound and seem to be people and yet have all this incredible angelic power to them. For example, the angels that showed up in Sodom and Gomorrah that God sent, they went and rescued Lot and his family before they brought destruction. Well, they looked like people, and the people of Sodom and Gomorrah, the men all gathered around and wanted to rape them. And, so that's how evil that society was. And we see angels like that showing up from time to time throughout the Bible. Interestingly, they always have bodies. The idea of a disembodied spirit, that a human personality could live separate from the body, is a totally Greek idea, which has permeated our culture, but is not a Bible idea. The Bible idea of a human being is you have the spirit, your spirit breathed into the dust of the ground, just like Adam was created, and you became a living soul. That's what a human being is. Spirit and matter together, making a living person. Always, 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 always in the Bible, a human being has a body. Even after they die, when they show up in the Bible, people have bodies. It's not a body like this earth's body, but God gives man body. And apparently, from what we read in the scripture, after a person dies, our spirit goes to be with the Lord. But then we find these various stories where, for example, Moses and Elijah are encountered by Jesus, and they have bodies. Ultimately, there will be a resurrection and a new heaven and a new earth, and you get a new body in the here and now physical realm, recreated to be perfect. That's the Christian teaching. So let's look a little bit at this thing about the dead who are not dead, but actually have bodies still, which are like spiritual bodies. Perhaps some of these, you know, sci-fi ghost shows where a person dies and they have a body, but it's unknown to the people around them. And not so far from the truth, but God's in charge. You know, they leave God out in those shows, and he ain't left out, believe me. Here's Matthew chapter 17. It talks about this. It says, 6 days later, Jesus took Peter and his two brothers, James and John, up to a high mountain. As the men watched, Jesus' appearance changed so that his face shone like the sun. His clothing became dazzling white, and suddenly Moses and Elijah appeared and was talking with Jesus. Peter, you know, being the bumbling guy that he is, blurted out, "Oh, Lord, this is wonderful. If you want to, we'll make you three shrines, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah," like three dwellings, little camps or tents or something. And even as he said this, though, a bright cloud came over them, and a voice from the cloud, and this is the Father, obviously, the Heavenly Father says, "This is my beloved Son. I am fully pleased with him. You listen to him." In other words, God the Father is saying, "Peter, shut up. You're with Jesus. Don't you know what's going on here?" And the disciples were terrified, it says, and they fell face down on the ground. And when Jesus came over and touched them, he said, "Get up, don't be afraid." When they got up, they only saw him. And they came down the mountain, and Jesus said, "Don't tell anyone what you've seen until I've been raised from the dead." What do we get from this story? Well, Jesus is transfigured. The glory is shining off from him. And in the midst of all this happening, up in the presence of God the Father, Moses and Elijah show up. Well, we know from the stories in the book of Exodus, Moses died. They never got his body, but he did die. He died. In fact, they went looking for his body, but God, prevented them from finding him. Moses died. Elijah never experienced that physical death, but the chariot of God came down and swept him up, and then Elisha, his protege, became the next prophet. But here in this story with Jesus, interesting, Moses and Elijah, now Moses, we know, died. Moses has a body. Elijah has a body. Jesus' natural body becomes a glorified body. What does this tell us? Well, it tells us something about the state after death for God's people is not a disembodied consciousness of some kind. But here, it's presented as alive. Jesus said, you know, "I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." He didn't say he was the God. He says, "I am." And in it, the clear teaching in that passage was, it's a present tense thing. They are in existence now. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. "I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." And they exist. And whatever kind of body God gives them when they die, they have a body right now. It's not the resurrection body that all are promised to have, but it's some kind of a physical state in the presence of God. And that's the clear teaching of Scripture. The idea around Halloween and these different, you know, spiritual ideas that when a person dies, their soul leaves their body, has no more physical existence at all, not even a spiritual type of body. But they're just a floating around ghost, is not a Christian idea. There are spirits like that. I said that yesterday when I was talking about this. The Bible talks about spirits like that. Job experienced that in the book of Job. It talks about those. Demons, from all we can tell, are disembodied spirits. Perhaps the angels who rebelled against God and were cast into darkness, they lost their their physical state. And Jesus said when he'd cast the demons out of the man that the demon goes around looking for a home. They're like a disembodied spirit looking for a body to animate in the human being, for example. But human beings aren't that way and are never that way. A human being always has some kind of body. Well, now we move on to the next story that I want to share today. Very interesting, where Jesus is, talking about another case where a person dies. And he says in Luke chapter 16, there was a certain rich man who lived in splendid luxury and was clothed in luxury and all the rest. And he says, at his door laid a beggar full of disease named Lazarus. And Lazarus lay there longing for scraps from the rich man's table. The dogs would come along and even lick his open sores. And finally, the beggar died. He was carried away by the angels to be with Abraham. And this is understood by the Jews to be like a waiting place with Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried, and his soul went to the place of the dead. Now, the word soul there does not mean a disembodied spirit. The word soul simply means alive. So he's now alive somehow other way. And guess what? It says there he was in torment. And from a distance he could see Lazarus with Abraham. And the rich man shouted, "Father Abraham, have pity. Send Lazarus over here to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue because I'm in anguish in these flames." Now, this is fascinating. I'll tell you why. First reason is Jesus in this story is using names, proper names. Lazarus means that these were actual people. It's not a parable, but a literal story he's telling, and it's unlike a lot of the other parables. The second thing that's fascinating is that obviously they have bodies. Here's Lazarus being comforted. And the rich man in anguish wants Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water. So he has a finger and he is able to dip it in water. Come over to the rich man and cool his tongue. He has a tongue and he's in anguish and there are flames. So after this man dies, these two men die, there is a physical existence of some kind. Not this body, but it is a body. And what's happening? Well, the evil rich man is in torment, waiting for whatever's going to come, and Lazarus is in comfort with Abraham, waiting for whatever's going to come. But what's Abraham say? "Son, remember that during your lifetime you had everything you wanted, and Lazarus had nothing. So now he is here being comforted, and you're in anguish. And besides that, there's a great chasm separating us, and anyone who wanted to cross over to you is prevented and stopped at its edge. No one can cross over to us." But the rich man said, "Please, Father Abraham, send someone to my father's house. I have five brothers. Send someone to warn them about this place of torment." And Abraham said, "Moses and the prophets have warned them. Your brothers can read the writings anytime they want." "Oh, no," says the rich man. "Father Abraham, if someone was sent to them from the dead, then they would turn from their sin." And Abraham said, "Well, if Moses and the prophets, they won't even listen to someone rising from the dead." Referring, obviously, to Jesus. So there it is, very clearly what Jesus is saying with literal names, that the state of the dead, righteous dead, in comfort, waiting, and the unrighteous dead in torment, waiting, is a state that's physical in some way. And then finally, in the last couple of minutes we've got right here, we go to the book of Revelation, and we find out that after this waiting period is done, at the very end of time, there's a great white throne of judgment. Revelation 20, "The earth and the heavens and the sky flee away from his presence. And the one who's sitting on the throne comes. I saw the dead, both great and small, standing before God's throne. The books were opened, including the book of life. And all the dead were judged according to the writings written in the books." In other words, these books of deeds record everything you and I ever did. And what's the outcome of that? You're guilty. I'm guilty. And it says the sea gave up the dead in it, death gave in the grave gave up the dead in them, and everyone was judged according to the deeds. Standing there physically, death and the grave gave up the dead, And guess what happened? And it says, the dead were all judged according to their deeds. And death and the grave was thrown into the lake of fire. And anyone whose name was not found recorded in the book of life was thrown in the lake of fire. And then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The old heaven and the old earth had gone. And I saw the holy city. And we go on to read about the resurrection, life, and body that we will receive. Well, what is this book of life? You see, if at the very last moment of judgment, you are judged on the basis of what you did, you are guilty. You will fall. There's no way to be saved. It's just like that rich man. Nothing you can say, nothing you can do. But the book of life is the Lamb's book of life, Jesus' book of life. By faith, by trusting him, by believing, by saying, God, I want this, I am guilty and I receive your pardon, our names become written in the book of life. And we are delivered from that certain penalty, physical judgment, physical torment, the physical penalty that it says exists beyond the grave. We are found righteous through the book of life and delivered to life in a new heaven and a new earth and a new physical body, like the body Jesus had after he rose from the dead. That is the story of death and life after death and resurrection life for the believer. Are you ready? Do you believe Christ? You think you can make it on your own? Or will you say, God, I entrust my soul, myself to you. I want my name in the Lamb's book of life. Forgive me for all my sins. I believe in Jesus. And I will follow you from now to eternity. I want to be yours. That's the way to eternal life. Make sure that's the way you choose with God.